Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, we're going to read the first 11 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 15, reading verses 1 to 11. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the last words that he spoke before he went to the cross for our sins. And Jesus says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." For some months now I've been preaching through the Acts of the Apostles, but for a few weeks I want to take a break from the book of Acts. And I want to preach a thematic series. That is to say, I want to preach a series of sermons on a particular theme. And the theme that I want to explore from the New Testament is the Christian's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, and somebody were to talk to you and say to you, "Tell me about your Christian faith. You say you're a Christian. What does that mean?" At some point in your explanation, you would talk about the fact that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may even begin with that. You would say, "Well, the fact is, I have a relationship with Christ," or at some point in your explanation, you may talk about the forgiveness of your sins through the cross of Christ. You may talk about how you've been adopted into the kingdom of God. But at some point, you will speak about this great truth that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know, when you study the New Testament, this is the interesting thing, that this relationship that we have with Christ is the central foundational focus of the New Testament. We call ourselves Christians, and that's fine. That's a biblical word. But the interesting thing is, that word Christian is used only 3 times in the entire Bible. So it's not very often that Christians are called Christians in the New Testament. Of course, it's not there in the Old Testament at all. In the New Testament, you read 3 times the word Christian. So it's not frequently used of Christians. The phrase that is frequently, most frequently, used of Christians is, they are in Christ. The Apostle Paul, who is perhaps the foundational theologian of the New Testament, uses that phrase, in Christ, dozens of times. It is his favorite way of describing Christians. When he writes to people, he doesn't say to the Christians in Corinth. He says to those who are in Christ. He doesn't say to the Christians in Thessalonica. He says to those who are in Christ in Thessalonica. He doesn't say to the Christians in Philippi. He says to those who are in Christ in Philippi. In Christ, this is what defines Christianity. We belong to Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with Him. Now, what does that mean? It's very important we don't have vague ideas about this. It's very important we have a clear understanding of what this relationship consists of. It's good that we go around saying, I am in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Him. That's great. That's biblical. But we need a very clear idea of exactly what this relationship looks like and how it works, how it operates. Because do you know, this is the foundational doctrine of the New Testament. This is where our Christianity is founded, and this is where our Christianity lives. If you want to live as a Christian to the glory of God, you need to understand your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm beginning this series of sermons. I don't know how many there will be. I'm preparing each week, and there is quite a few. And when we look at the New Testament, there's something very interesting. The New Testament uses picture language. The New Testament says, imagine this scenario, this scene. And look at this scenario, and look at the way it develops. And as you look at this scenario, you are looking at the Christian's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to be looking at theoretical passages. We're not going to be looking at passages where there are all these words but no illustrations. Actually, the New Testament's way of explaining our relationship is by illustrations, picture language. And we're going to be picking them up, one picture after the next, and looking at different aspects of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we're looking at the first of these pictures. Jesus Himself says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So we're looking at this picture of a tree with its branches and those branches producing fruit. And Jesus says, when you imagine this picture, a tree, branches, fruit, you are looking at your relationship to Me. This is how it works. So this is how we're looking at it this morning. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to be expounding primarily John 15, 1 to 11. But I am going to refer quite a lot to Romans 5, 12 to 21, the passage that I also read. So it might help you to keep a finger in Romans 5, or a sheet, like I've got a sheet of paper in Romans 5, and to keep mainly at John, and I will be going back and forth, because in order to understand this relationship, we need both passages. And I want to try and keep it as simple as possible. I promise you it will be quite simple, but the two passages will work together to explain this to us. So this is what we're looking at this morning. Christ is the vine, we are the branches, and this explains our relationship to Him. Three things I want to bring to you this morning from these two passages. Three things. In the first place, I want us to understand this, that all who are Christians were at one time in Adam. All who are Christians were at one time in Adam. I want you to imagine a meadow. And I want you to imagine a tree in this meadow. And this tree looks a healthy tree. It's a big tree. And it's got many leaves. And it's got much fruit on it. Whatever fruit, it doesn't matter. And you look at this tree, and you're impressed by it. It's a huge tree, and it obviously appears to you, you're not an expert, and I'm not an expert, it appears to us to be a very healthy and a fruitful tree. And you walk up to that tree, and you pluck a fruit, and you're about to eat it, and somebody quickly shouts at you, don't do that. And you turn round and you find that it's the person who owns that meadow, and he says, don't eat that, that's poisonous. You're going to die. The moment you eat it, you're going to die. This is a poisonous tree. And he explains to you what's happening. He says to you, this ground is completely polluted by all kinds of poison. And this tree has put root into this ground where there's nothing but poison. And the root system has been taking up poison from the ground. And the poison has been working through the trunk of the tree. You know how in a tree there are all these conduits, all these channels. And the poison has been working up the trunk of the tree and going into the branches and producing fruit. And the fruit is poisonous. You must not touch it. This is a description of a person who is not a Christian. If you study Romans 5 very carefully, Romans 5 is saying this, that when God looks at the world, he sees two trees. And all human beings, every one of the 6 billion plus human beings who live on this earth, are either branches of this tree or they are branches of this tree. And we're looking at the first of these trees, Adam. And those who are not Christians are in Adam. They are branches of Adam. And Adam is corrupted. Adam fell into sin. In fact, the Bible says Adam wasn't deceived. You sometimes hear this, that in the Garden of Eden, the serpent deceived Adam, and Adam, because he was deceived and didn't know what he was doing, ate the fruit and became sinful. And the Bible says no, Eve was deceived, yes. But Paul is very careful in making this distinction. Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. Adam knew what he was doing when he ate the fruit. Adam knew, when I eat this fruit, I'm disobeying God and I'm going to fall into sin. He sinned with knowledge. So Adam is corrupt. And because we're all children of Adam, we all descend from Adam. We all inherit his corrupt nature. So you read what Paul is saying in Romans 5. He says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, so sin spread to all men because all sinned. So you see, he keeps going back to Adam. And he says, in Adam, this is verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Although there wasn't a law given, but there was sin and there was death because Adam brought it in. Verse 18, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. So he keeps referring back to Adam, and he says to us, you are related to Adam, you are branches in Adam. Once Adam becomes corrupt, the corruption spreads to all the branches of Adam, and all the fruit that all those branches produce is corrupt fruit. Now, when you read the New Testament, and you read the passages in the New Testament which speak about the person who is not a Christian, you can see this. I'm going to put up on the board a few passages, and I want you to see what the Bible says about the person who is not a Christian. This is Romans chapter 3 and verses 9 to 18. And look at what the Apostle Paul says about man. From verse 10. Now he's writing about all human beings. And he says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruins of misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, do you notice he isn't speaking about some human beings who just are particularly evil? He says there is none righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks after God. There is no one who understands, who has knowledge of God. There is no one who wants to come to God and to be right with him. We are all utterly corrupt. He says this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says in verses, that's not chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read to you Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. This is chapter 4. This is what he says in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So he's talking there about the corruption that is in men, and he says you were dead in trespasses and sins, and you walked in these things. And he says it wasn't just you Ephesians, all of us did this. And then look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19, again talking about those who are not Christians. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And then one more text from Titus and chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves, because before he became a Christian, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Now these are just some verses, there are many others. And they're telling us that those who are not Christians, they are in Adam, and Adam is thoroughly corrupt. And those who are in Adam are thoroughly corrupt. We sometimes talk of non-Christians and we say, they're a lovely person. Well, certainly some non-Christians appear to be very lovely. And undoubtedly some non-Christians are generous and kind and sacrificial. But when God looks at them, God looks at the motives and God looks at the heart and God says, I see nothing but sin and corruption. All who are Christians were at one time in Adam. But then there's a second thing that the Bible teaches us from these passages, John 15 and Romans 3. And it teaches us this, that all who are Christians have been removed from Adam and have been grafted into Christ. Remember, when God looks at the world, God sees two men. And I'm using tree because Jesus uses the illustration of the tree. God sees two men. And the picture of the tree is helpful. And every human being on the face of the earth is either in Adam or they are in Christ. And we who are Christians today were at one time in Adam. And when we became Christians, what happened when you became a Christian? Do you know something very radical happened? Do you know God did something? We often talk about we doing something. We say, well, I invited Jesus into my life. I gave my heart to Jesus. And I did this and I did that. Do you know the Bible never uses such language? Have you ever noticed that? You will never find a phrase in the Bible, give your life to Jesus, invite Jesus into your life. You don't find those words. Whenever the Bible speaks about a person becoming a Christian, the Bible speaks about God's work. And there are these two verses from Colossians that I want us to see, because they're so important in understanding this. This is what Colossians says about how a person becomes a Christian. And it's speaking about God the Father. He, this is God the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you see, you have these verbs which are past perfect. He has delivered us. It isn't saying He is delivering us. He has delivered us and has transferred us. It doesn't say He is transferring us. He has transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is what happened to you when you became a Christian. God snapped you from Adam, snapped you off. It's like an expert horticulturalist going to this tree which is utterly corrupt and producing poisonous fruit, and he takes a saw and saws off a branch. And then he goes to a tree that's completely healthy, not an iota of corruption in it, completely healthy, in completely healthy soil. And he makes a gash in the trunk of that tree. And he's an expert horticulturalist, and he grafts this branch into this tree, and he does it so that it takes. Do you know, I've been reading about grafting on Wikipedia this week. And they say that the word take is a technical term that they use for grafting, because grafting doesn't always take. But when an expert does it, it takes. And what that means is that the channels that are running in the trunk, the conduits, the pipes, if you like, that are running in the trunk, they actually hook up to this new branch. They lock in. It's a little bit like the nervous system. You know, you imagine somebody's arm has been cut off, and they do an expert job so that all the nerves and the veins all hook up again, so that all the blood is running and all the nervous system is working again. And they say you take the branch, and if it's done expertly, the grafting works so that the branch now has access to all the goodness that the tree is pulling through its roots and up its trunk. And the branch is able to access all this. And this is who you are as a Christian this morning. You have been removed from Adam, and you have been grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life that is in Christ is now flowing into you. Now think about this branch. It has been in a tree that was utterly poisoned. For many years, it has been in a tree that has been taking up in its roots poison, and has been sending up the trunk poison, and sending into the branches poison, so that the branch is bung full of poison. And the person takes it to this new tree, and it's still full of poison. He hasn't removed the poison. It's still full of poison, and he grafts it into this new tree. Now imagine what happens after a while. The grafting takes, so that the goodness that this new tree is taking up through its roots, and the goodness, all the nourishment and the clean water that's coming up the trunk of this new tree is now going into this branch. So the branch now has a mixture of things in it. It has all the old poison in it, but it now has this goodness coming into it. And gradually the goodness pushes out the poison and replaces it. This process begins whereby the goodness gradually pushes out the poison and replaces it. But while this process is going on, the branch has the two things in it. Now look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Is this not your experience as a Christian? Paul writing to the Galatians, the desires of the flesh is the poison, the old corruption that was in us, our sinful nature. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who now lives in us. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Is this not your experience as a Christian? You still have sin in you. The Bible says if anybody says, I don't sin, he has already sinned and is a liar because we all sin. But we're not dominated by sin. We're not full of sin. It's not the case that the only thing we do is sin. Because we've now been grafted into Christ. And the life of Christ is flowing into us. The Holy Spirit of God has come to live in us. And the Holy Spirit of God is producing in us holy desires, holy impulses. A love for the Word of God. A love for the fellowship of God's people. A love for prayer. A love for holiness. So the Holy Spirit is at work in us. But the old poison is still there. It doesn't dominate our lives. It's not the only thing that is there. It doesn't fill our lives, but it is still there. And that yearns to control our lives. So in a sense, the Christian has these two forces in him, and each one is trying to take control of his life. The old nature says, you remember how you used to live a life of sin. You remember how you used to love going to the pub and drinking with your pals and having a night out. Do you remember how you used to love meeting with your friends and gossiping and talking about others and running others down? And do you remember the pleasures you used to get out of that? And then the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, but you're a Christian. You belong to Christ. You now belong to a new master. You must live for the glory of God. Imagine what pleasure there is in following Christ and in meeting with God's people and in fellowshipping with them. What pleasure there is in holiness. You won't be happy in sin because you're now a new person. You're no longer in the old tree. You're now a branch of the new tree. You won't be happy trying to live like a branch in the old tree. And the Christian life is this battle that goes on in us. When you get home, read Romans chapter 7, because that is the clearest passage in the whole Bible about this war that is going on within the Christian. And Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that the good that I want to do, I do not do. And the evil that I do not want to do, that I do. Now that's our experience. Now that's not the consistent Christian life. It's not always the case that the good we want to do, we do not do, and the evil we do not want to do, we do. But there are times when it happens, and we sin. And there's this ongoing battle. But the encouraging thing is this. There is a process of cleansing going on. That branch that has been grafted into the new tree will eventually be cleansed completely. After a few years, if you were to pluck the fruit, you could eat it. It wouldn't do you much good because there is still an element of the poison in it, because there is still an element of the poison in the branch. But the tree has taken much nutrition and transported it to the branch, and the branch has given much nutrition to the fruit. So the fruit will have some good. It will be a mixed fruit, you see. And that does describe the Christian life. What is our lives? Our lives are like that. We are capable of doing much good because we are Christians. We don't do it in our own strength. Jesus says, abide in me and you will produce fruit. But we are capable of much good because we now belong to Christ and the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And the fruit that we produce isn't all corrupt. It isn't perfect yet, but there is this process going on, and gradually the branch is being cleansed of the poison. And one day, as the process continues and continues and continues, the branch will be completely cleansed of all poison and produce perfect fruit. So all who are Christians were at one time in Adam. All who are Christians have been removed from Adam and have been grafted into Christ. And then thirdly and finally, and I'm looking now at John 15 primarily, thirdly and finally, all who are Christians must abide in Christ so that they bear fruit to the glory of God. When you read John 15, that phrase, abide in me, occurs again and again. And it is Jesus presenting the balanced Christian life. Because the balanced Christian life is that God has done something. God has removed us from Adam. He has removed us from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of sin. And He has brought us into the kingdom of Christ. He has grafted us into the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has thereby secured our salvation. We are now in Christ and God has done it. So there is that one aspect of the Christian life. God has saved us and has saved us eternally. But there is a balance to this. And the balance is, we're not to just sit back and fold our arms and say, well, now that God has grafted me into Christ, He will now work out my sanctification. He will now sort me out. I just sit back and do nothing. We are given duties. And there are commands in the New Testament to those who are Christians. We are to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We are to pursue sanctification. We are to pursue holiness, without which no man shall see God. And in this passage, we are to abide in Christ. And that's an imperative verb. In other words, it's a command. Christ is saying to us, abide in me. Now what he means by that is that we are to have a daily walk with Him. We are to maintain this living relationship with Him. He mentions a number of things here. He mentions, for example, prayer. He mentions the Word of God. He mentions the love of God. He mentions the fellowship of God. Because all these things are important, you see, in the Christian life. If you really are a Christian this morning, you will want to maintain this fellowship with Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, you will want to pray. There is something unnatural about a Christian who has no interest in prayer. There is something unnatural about a Christian who has no interest in the Word of God. There is something unnatural about a Christian who has no interest in the love of God and in wanting to know more of the love of God. And there's something unnatural about a Christian who has no interest in obeying the commandments of Christ. Unnatural because we have now been grafted into Christ and we now have a new nature. And that new nature produces a new fruit. And this is why he says that there are these branches which appear to have been grafted in, but they produce no fruit. And the fruit is the proof of a successful grafting. Now, I'm not an expert in grafting, but even I know that if a person tells me 10 years ago, I took this branch out of a completely poisoned tree and grafted it into this completely healthy tree, and I picked the fruit, and he says, if you eat that, it'll kill you. I think to myself, there's something wrong with this grafting. How come after 10 years, I'm still not able to eat the fruit? Now, if the grafting has taken, the fruit may be bitter, but it won't be poisoned. There will be some good in it. But if there is no fruit that is good and acceptable, this is what he's saying here. Examine the fruit that you produce. Is there actual living Christianity? And he's saying, abide, walk with me, read the scriptures, pray, fellowship with God's people, obey the commandments, take a great interest in the Word of God and seek the love of God daily in your life. It's what our forefathers used to call communion with Christ. Now, that's a very easily understood phrase. I don't think we have to go into great depths about it. Maintain daily communion with Christ. Have a daily time when you pray. Have a daily time when you read the scriptures and meditate on the scriptures. Have a daily time when you seek fellowship with God's people that you might encourage them. Have a daily time when you seek to do something for the kingdom of God, to speak for Christ, to serve Him in some way, that you are walking with Him. And you're examining yourself to make sure that you really do hate sin and are putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Abide in Christ. So this is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is partly, and I say partly because it is a series of sermons, this is partly what it means to be in Christ. We have been grafted into Him, and His life flows into us, and we are increasingly being cleansed because we've now been grafted into Him, and we are increasingly producing fruit that is pleasing to Him. And we will one day be thoroughly cleansed and will produce fruit that is completely pleasing to Him. Abide in Him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word. And we thank You that You've explained so clearly what it means to be in union with Christ. And we pray, our Father, that we would understand these things. Give us an understanding, Lord. And give us especially a desire to live by Your word, to maintain that communion with Christ, that we might produce fruit that's pleasing to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.